Hello guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, all on the family. But God began to deal with us, we realized something. We're reaching thousands with our seminars, but we can reach millions with our radio program. We're having some great feedback, so we want to encourage today. If this program has helped you in any way, if you've got something out of it, give us a call. Drop us a line, send us a note, email us, and let us know how it's helped you. God told us years ago that we would be doing this in the last days and said our ministry would restore hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changes people, puts hope back in you, man. God can do all kinds of great things. Part the Red Sea and raise the dead. He can save a marriage. He can save a family. He can help you with your parenting, help you with your money. It is the Word of God. So this program is just based on that alone. It's restoring hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. Give us a line and let us know how it's helped you.
You're listening to Joe McGee.
Apostle Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, he said this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They'll be heady, high-minded, truce breakers, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, disobedient to parents. There's a long list of 22 kinds of people that he closes with this statement, from such people stay away. If they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them water. If they're in prison, visit them. If they're sick, nurture them back to health, but do not spend spare time or even eat lunch with them. You will become like who you hang around. I get mad at my wife one time. I said, what's wrong with my kids? What's wrong with them? She said, go look in the mirror. They're just like you. You reproduce yourself good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. They're mouthy like you and they overreact like you. I said, oh, help me, Jesus, I got a problem.
You are listening to Joe McGee. He'll be right back with more of today's message. But first, we'd like to tell you about this month's life-changing offer for your family. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. This set includes three audio messages that are thought-provoking and funny, a couple of prayer reminders, and 31 teaching cards to help you and your kids build a strong marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Your support goes to help grow the outreach of Joe McGee Ministries. Joe uses a laugh and learn approach that removes barriers and provides a refreshing point of view and a new hope for your marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe.
I got six kids. I love them all dearly. My oldest is 32. She's a college professor. My youngest just turned 23. They're all born again, spirit-filled in church. I don't have one perfect kid. I wish I did, but I don't because they didn't have any perfect parents. I get mad at my wife one time. I said, what's wrong with my kids? What's wrong with them? She said, go look in the mirror. They're just like you. You reproduce yourself good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. They're mouthy like you and they overreact like you. I said, oh, help me, Jesus, I got a problem. And, anyhow, as we began to grow in God and learn some things, I thought, you know, and so my kids came in. There was a lot of earthquakes out in Yellowstone just about 3 years ago, really bad. And it was on CNN two nights in a row, and they reported that these volcanoes explode in Yellowstone, which they did 2.1 million years ago. Now, I wasn't there, but somebody saw it and wrote about it because it supposedly happened. And if these volcanoes go off in Yellowstone, where it's a lot of earthquakes going on right now, even this week, it says one third of the earth will be destroyed. And that was on CNN. I thought, well, that's fascinating. Well, my kids came by the office after work one day. Said, Dad, did you see the news? I said, about what? He said, the earthquakes in Yellowstone. Oh, yeah, I saw that. It's fascinating. What do you think is going to happen? I said, what? What do you think is going to happen? I said, nothing. Well, no, they said a third of the earth could be destroyed. I said, no. So I tell you what, I'm going to call and rent a Winnebago, and we're going to take a family vacation. We're just going to drive out there and see it. Get in the middle of it. And it just sort of messed up. I said, listen, guys, y'all are born again spirit filled. You go to a great church. You're not reading your Bible. You not know what's going on. We live in the greatest period of human history, and you're not aware of that. But if you're not reading the Bible and all you're listening to is those six 24-hour news channels, you're one messed up individual because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You're thinking stupid. Quit thinking stupid. You think stupid. You know, I used to do this in counseling. You think stupid because you feed on stupid. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. What are you feeding on, stupid? Why? Because stupid just came out of your mouth. You feed on stupid, you'll think stupid. You think stupid, you talk stupid. You talk stupid, you are stupid. That's a whole degree in psychology right there. Why are you so stupid? You think that way. What do you need to do? Change your thinking. You're supposed to meditate in the Word of God day and night. Then you'll prosper and have good success. 3 John 2, Joshua 1, 8, Psalms 1. I am what I think about. Well, what are you thinking? Evidently, you're not thinking much because they're stupid coming out of your mouth. So anyhow, I brought the kids in. I thought I could do it one Thursday night, but it took several Thursday nights. I said, y'all come next Thursday night and bring your spouses and sit down here and let me explain it. So this is the short version. It took several Wednesdays or Thursdays, but I'll give you this. I'm going to read out of Jude. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I'm not less than King James. I just don't speak it. I speak modern English. So here in the book of Jude, I'm just going to jump into verse 14. It says, Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied about people in the last days. He's talking about what's going on in the last days. We said, well, he prophesied. He said, listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He's going to convict every person of all the ungodly things they have done, the insults that they've spoken against him. These people, who's he talking about? People in the world. They're grumblers and complainers. I made a list one time for my kids. I said, here's who you want to marry. I'm not going to mess with you. I'm just going to write it on a 3x5 card. This is who you want to marry. Number one, you want to marry a grumbler and a complainer. Why? Well, you'll never have to do it. They'll do it for you all the time. You can just relax, drink some coffee, watch a soap opera. Just marry a thumbsucker, and they'll take care of all the grapping for you. Getting quiet. There'll be grumblers and complainers living only to satisfy their own desires. They will brag loudly about themselves, and they will flatter others to get what they want. That's a good list to somebody to pucker up to. But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ said. They told you that in the last days there would be scoffers whose purpose in life it is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts. They do not have God's spirit. But you, my dear friends, must do 3 things. You must build up yourself on your most holy faith. You must pray in the Holy Ghost. You must walk in the love of God. Now, what I did, I put together a whole list on these cards for my kids, and I did this scripture in Jude. I did 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. I did Matthew 24 and Luke 17, where Jesus was always asked about the last days. Lord, what's it going to be like? Apostle Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. He said this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They'll be heady, high-minded, truce breakers, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, disobedient to parents. There's a long list of 22 kinds of people that he closes with this statement, from such people, stay away. If they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them water. If they're in prison, visit them. If they're sick, nurture them back to health, but do not spend spare time or even eat lunch with them. You will become like who you hang around. Then you go to Matthew 24 and they ask Jesus. He said, well, Jesus, what's going to be the sign of your return? What's it going to be like right before you come back? Well, there will be wars, rumors of wars, famines, and earthquakes. Woo, kumbaya. Luke 17, they ask him again, well, what's going to be the sign of your return? Well, when I come back, it'll be just like it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. People will be eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, buying, selling, building, and planting. Jesus said, it will be business as usual till the day I come to get you. The day Jesus comes back, nobody's going to be looking for him. World War III will not be going on. There will not be riots in the street. It's going to be business as usual. People going to work. Walmart will be packed. People will be at the lake. Somebody just got hired. Somebody just got fired. Somebody just got born. Somebody just died. It will be business as usual till Jesus comes. So I told my kids, shut your mouth up. Quit griping. Quit feeding on the world and feed on the Word of God. We are the salt and the light of this planet. We are problem solvers. Matthew 5:9, we shared at the marriage seminar, we are called to be problem solvers. Blessed are the peacemakers. They should be called the children of God. A child of God is a peacemaker. Now, the 60s ruined that word. A peacemaker is a problem solver. Jesus went from point A to point B every day fixing stuff that was broke. What are you going to do tomorrow, Jesus? I'm going to fix hell. What? Yeah, I'm going to fix hell. I'm going to put eyeballs back in their head that don't work, give them hands where they didn't have any. I'm going to raise dead people, fix sick people, feed hungry people. I'm going to fix hell every day I'm here. The things I do, shall you do also. Shut up, quit griping, go out and fix some hell. But I only deal with churches, and I do about 80 seminars a year, and our TV program covers about a third of the earth. And I try to tell people, guys, this is the greatest day of human history. Had we been able to choose, we would have chosen to be born at this time. Yeah, there's hell going on. The devil's mad. He's about to lose his lease on this planet. He is throwing a fit. He steals, kills, and destroys, John 10:10. I mean, he's mad. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is the God of this planet. Where's God at? Well, he's in heaven. They're singing to him. There's a laser light show. The weather's really good, gold streets, pearly gate, kumbaya. We're not there. People all the time talk about, well, Jesus is Lord, not over this planet. If Jesus is Lord over this planet, he's doing an incredibly sorry job. I'm an engineer, I think real logical. Well, Jesus is Lord, but not over this planet. If he is, he's not very good. Because the hospitals are full, the orphanages are full, and there's wars everywhere, and people are famine and killing and dying and stealing. That. If he's Lord, where's he at? He's not here. Jesus is not allowed on this planet unless somebody asks him. That's why we come and pray. God said this. I know, Jesus said throughout the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I know what you need before you ask, but I need you to ask. Why? I'm not allowed down there. That's why God told the devil in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, they got fired from their job, evicted from their house, their kids started killing each other. Hell came with sin. Sin's got death attached to it. Jesus came to redeem us from sin. But the thing is, God, he doesn't cheat. A man lost this planet. A man had to get it back. Thus, silent night, holy night, we three kings of Orion are. God said, I can't show up like Superman, take it back from the devil and give it back to my Adam. A man lost it. A man will come and get it back. That's why God told the devil in the garden, one day I will come in the flesh and take this back. And so the devil thought, uh-oh. Because the devil's just a fallen angel. He's not God. But he's nasty. Now, you know, he's real pretty. You know, you ever read in Ezekiel 28, Lucifer is full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, charge of wealth, charge of music. Those are the four gifts he had. When he got fired from his job, he did not lose his gifts. So he uses that to attract people. All kinds of music. I remember we used to bust up rock and roll music because something bad in it. Yeah, bust it because it's got devils in it. Listen, the devil's in every kind of music, and God's in every kind of music. People just get so wacky about stuff. Listen, I've taken my kids to every kind of concert you can imagine. I mean, I go to classical stuff, we go to the opera once a year, we go to country music stuff, rocks and what. I want them to taste it. Just get in the middle of it, see what's going on here. I said, it's not just so much the tune. Now, listen, I'm real strict about music in my house. I love music, but I'm strict. If I can't whistle to it, we don't play it. Because if there's no rhythm or harmony, it's confusion. Confusion's of the devil. If I can't whistle and snap my fingers to it, shut it off.
Today, Joe brings you a message that will have you rolling with laughter and thinking about how God designed us to be relational from the very beginning of life. Start today to fight and overcome the tough challenges of marriage. But before we get into today's message, I want to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with today's biblical message.
Number 2, what's it saying? Because we used to have great classical hymns we would sing at work. I remember this great hymn came on at work, 300 of us in this big aluminum factory. And, hey, it's on, turn your station. We'd turn our station to sing this great classical hymn. Take this job and shove it. We ain't working here no more. And buddy, we'd all sing along and the foremans would laugh. Take this job, shove it. We'd love that song. And 3 months later, they shut our plant down. So don't sing stupid. So the devil's into music. He's into good looks. I don't care who you are in America. Nobody likes the way they look. You ever notice that? White people trying to look black. Black people trying to look white. Fat people trying to get skinny. Skinny people trying to get fat. Tall people trying to get short. Short people trying to get tall. You don't like your fish? We can nuke it, shove some in, or take some out. What can we do to it? It's going back to dust anyhow. So I'm trying to tell my kids, you've got an enemy that hates your guts called the devil. You're on his planet. Jesus is Lord over this planet. The devil's God over this planet. Temporary God. Jesus is Lord over me. I'm behind enemy lines. I've been taken out of his kingdom, put in the kingdom of God's dear son. That's why I have armor on. I'm a special trooper behind enemy lines. I storm hell. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said this, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. What's a gate? Something locked up. What's locked up? The stuff the devil stole from me, my time, my peace, my honor, my joy, my money, my health. What are you going to do? I'm going to storm hell and get it back. Amen. Most Christians, I lost a son-in-law to cancer about 10 years ago. God had healed him twice, and we lost him. We didn't think he had died. And I had a great, great cancer doctor in the hospital, but he is a heathen. He hated us. We're up there praying, playing music. We're in intensive care for 2 days. I didn't think he'd die. I thought, we'll bring him home. He's just sick as a dog. So I'm leaving, I'm going to the elevator, and Doc says, hey, preacher, can I walk to the elevator with you? I said, sure, Doc. Now, I know he's a heathen. He's a great doctor, but he's a heathen. So I know here he's going to say something. I said, Doc, he said, preacher, you know who gets healed of cancer? I said, no, sir, who gets healed of cancer? He said, mean people. Mean people get healed of cancer. I said, I've been doing this for 12 years. People come here that die that shouldn't and don't die that should. He said, it's the mean ones that make it because they'll fight. You Christians are too nice. You won't fight. And he left me those words at the elevator. You know, the Bible talks about the fight of faith. The problem is when hell lands on Christians, and I pounded my kids, quit your thumbs up. Well, what happened? Well, I don't know what happened. What did God do? I don't want God to let this. God didn't let this happen. He's in heaven. They're singing to him. You're down here. God's not down here unless you invite him. Prayer is not a religious thing. It's a legal thing. You have not. Because you ask not. I know what you need. I need you to ask. I'm not allowed down there. Satan has got over that planet. I'm only allowed when a human invites me. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks for. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Prayer's not a religious thing. It's illegal. That's why you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. You can pray in the Spirit when you're mowing the grass, driving to work. It's not to make you holy. It's to get your prayers answered. To pray the perfect will of God. It didn't make you a Pentecostal, it's to get God to show up. And so all of a sudden I said, we're in God's prime time. You read, yeah, this is a nasty time, but God promised in the last days, God, family came first, church came second. Church came along, put the family back together. It's in Genesis. All of a sudden, here we are, we're the church. We're the light and salt of this planet. We're the salvation of this earth. We're the only thing living. Everything outside us is going to die and burn up one day. Two things last forever, the word of God and you and I. We're eternal. That's why the news media makes fun of the church, finds goofy people that are in the church, finds bad pastors and puts them on the front page of the news. Why? The devil's a verbal thing. He's trying to attack us.
That's right.
Can't stop us, though. It's our finest hour. God said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy and not cuss you out in the kitchen. You'll dream dreams. You'll have visions. I will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children back to the fathers. It is our greatest moment. So I've told my kids, your job in life is to go be a problem-solving machine. If you ever leave a place of employment, you ought to make them cry that you're leaving. Not throw a party and put some cake on the table. Thank God and great hell, they're gone. They're gone. Our job as believers is to leave every place we go better than we found it. God, so when God's son came to earth, he left everybody better than he found them. What do you do? We represent God. We're going to leave you better than we find you. We're salt, we're light, we're something good happening on this planet. We're not a billboard for hell. Oh, I got nothing, air goes right, and nothing going good. I don't work. I'm talking about parenting, by the way. Because we loved having kids, we just couldn't wait till they left. We thought, man, be glad when you're out of here. But I realized something, if I don't train them up, they'll come back and bring friends. So I've told my kids, listen, we're going to get you born again, spirit filled, get you in a great local church. Make sure you're in good youth group. You're going to youth camp. I'm going to get you through college. I'm going to pay for your college. I'm going to get your first car, and I'm going to pay for your wedding. After that, you owe me. Oh, you can laugh. I'm very serious. You owe me. You owe us good measure, pressed down. I'm going to launch you, and then you owe us. So if you ever come back to the house, don't spend the night. Bring food and a good report, because I'm going to launch you out into the world. And I know you're laughing, but I'm very serious about this. My six kids, I love my kids. I don't have perfect kids, but I got good ones. Get out there and whip something, not somebody. Go whip something. Go be a problem solver. Don't call, well, nothing good. And my husband, and my wife, and my kid, and my dog, and my neighbor, and my boss, and the weather. Whoa, 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 whoa. So, let me give this to you. I'm going to fire this real quick. Hang with me. This is in a series called Biblical Parenting 101. I'm an engineer, so I teach in series. Everything's 6 30-minute sessions. I think you got to hold your head under the water to either swallow or choke. You can't get it a one-shot deal. You got to feed on it for a while. So this is our parenting seminar, so listen carefully. You go back to Genesis. God said in the beginning, talking about, says it's not good for man to be alone. That's why he made him a wife. That's why the wife is better than the man. God looked at man. Good, 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 good. Not good. What's not good? Man. Not good. Not good. Take a nap. Took out a rib and made something good, because he didn't make another Adam. The first Adam was not good. What would two Adams do? Now you got two people not good. I'm just thinking like an engineer. It's like, well, if that's not good, why would you make another one? Yeah, they're both not good. So when he made a woman, he made something better. Now this is all in your public library. Women are better than men. The average woman outlives the average man by 7 years. She has a better immune system. She uses both sides of her brain. Men only use one. An average woman uses 28,000 words a day. Average man only uses 12. A woman has better manual dexterity than a man does. She's got a better memory. She's got better vision. She's got almost 180-degree vision. Men have tunnel vision. That's why men are better night drivers. But in the daytime, 4 times more men are broadsided in an accident than a woman. That's why if your wife's riding in the car with you, she'll tear that dashboard up. Look out! Watch out! Look out! And then, dear God, shut up, woman. You're driving crazy. It's because he can't see it. Now, this is a whole seminar. It's the only thing you listen to. I got to close this. God made women better than men. Man's still the leader, the head, not the boss. He's the head servant. Jesus said, you're going to be great in my kingdom, become the servant of all. I tell all men, first thing you'll ever do is get you an apron.
Joe's going to be back in just a moment with a tool to help you build a God-based, stronger marriage. But before we get to today's final thought and take home, I wanted to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you fight for your own family, to discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with a tool for you to use in your marriage.
You know, here's a big question. How do you keep parenting responsibilities from affecting your marriage? Man, when I started off, my wife and I, we were in love, man. We'd spend all day sucking lips off each other's face and eating cheeseburgers and watching old John Wayne movies, you know. And we're both going to work, paying bills, you know, and trying to buy a car and do whatever. But, man, we were in love. And that love produced a baby. Bitch, where'd that baby come from? We were in love. When that baby showed up, man, woo, have mercy, things changed. Then the second baby showed up. Oh, my goodness. Then the third baby showed up. What are we doing? Next, you got 6 kids. Like, when do we have time, man, between diapers and pablum and bottle and feeding and wiping and burping and school and, you know, passing the spelling bee and the algebra and getting into college? My goodness, we're just wore out. And I remember thinking, we got to do something different. Well, Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time and place for everything. So you got to schedule it in. It's not going to just happen.
Every day there's gonna be stuff you gotta do you knew the day before. Every day there's gonna be stuff you didn't see coming that's gonna show up. And if you don't have a pre-scheduled time just to get alone, not gonna happen. Luke 6:40 says, a child when fully taught will be just like their teacher. Kids don't do what we say, they do what we do, and they're watching us. If I'm trying to be a great parent and they're taking time and make sure everything's good, if they don't see me enjoying life, my wife and I taking time for each other, they're gonna reduplicate that in their next marriage and it'll be worse than ours. We gotta change something. So remember one time we'd gone probably 7 years without a date. Denise and I were dropping babies like rainwater. And I know, I teach it. You know, I said, we gotta take some time for it. So when? I don't know, we gotta find time. So finally, I said, we're gonna take a date tonight. Where? Out on the front porch. Gonna make some coffee. You're not gonna go out there for 30 minutes. And we're half mad. There's kids messing, doing stuff, needing stuff. We love our kids. So I remember we made some coffee, went out, we got a little Cracker Barrel porch off the side of our house. We went out and we sat down. I told my kids, don't you come out there for 30 minutes. Unless you're bleeding to death, don't you come out the door. This is mom and I's time for 30 minutes, this is us. And I'm kind of half mad, so we go out there coffee. We sit down in a couple of rocking chairs, we're just sipping on our coffee, and we just sat there. Now the kids are at the door. They're looking through the window at us on the porch. I know they're there. I'm not looking back, and I know they're watching. It's like they're just like a leech hanging off of us. And we're just trying to get some sanity. And I remember we went out, for 30 minutes we kept rocking. I'm gonna drink my coffee while it's still hot, and she's sipping on hers. And for 30 minutes, we did not even look at each other. We didn't say a word. We just raw, sipped her. And we know they're back there, but they're not bothering us. And for 30 minutes, we had heavenly bliss. What was it? It was peace. And I finally looked at her, she looked at me, I said, that was great, buddy. She said, yeah, we gotta do this again tomorrow. And so all of a sudden, we started making a habit on purpose, premeditated. We're gonna take a little time for ourselves. Not a whole evening, not a whole day, not a weekend. Let's just take 30 minutes. Maybe you have to start with 5, but start somewhere setting time for yourself. The more you do it, the more they get used to it, and the more you'll do it, and the greater your family will be, the more your kids will love you, for they see you taking time for one another and setting the right priorities in the home.
Call now, 1-800-482-5862. That's 1-800-482-5862. You can also write Joe at P.O. Box 691-498, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74169. We're excited to hear about all the great things God is going to do in your life as you apply these principles. Join us when Joe continues this Laugh and Learn series on how you need the right tools to build a successful marriage. It's never too late to change your marriage.
Hello guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, all on the family. When God began to deal with us, we realized something. We're reaching thousands with our seminars, but we can reach millions with our radio program. We're having some great feedback, so we want to encourage today. If this program has helped you in any way, if you've got something out of it, give us a call. Drop us a line. Send us a note, email us, and let us know how it's helped you. God told us years ago that we would be doing this in the last days and said our ministry would restore hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changes people, puts hope back in you, man. God can do all kinds of great things. Part the Red Sea and raise the dead. He can save a marriage. He can save a family. He can help you with your parenting, help you with your money. It is the Word of God. So this program is just based on that alone. It's restoring hope in the lives of families through the knowledge of the Word of God. Give us a line. Let us know how it's helped you.